Did you get your cootie shot? Today on Podcast Magoria. Welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I am but a humble servant to you, dear listeners, by the name of James.
And I'm just Autumn.
And today, we will be discussing our C movie, C for Cooties.
Yes. I've been wanting to do this movie for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it has two of my favorite actors in it of all time.
Rainn Wilson and the guy that was Hurley.
Yes, exactly. No, it's got Elijah Wood and Jack McBrayer in it. And yes. I love these two. I wish Jack was in it a little more, to be honest.
But yeah.
We'll get into all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this movie came out in 2014, running at a tight hour and 36 minutes.
Can't believe this movie's already 10 years old.
Isn't that crazy? Like, it feels as if it was only yesterday that I saw the trailer for this and going, yep. Wow, what a concept.
Yep, and I was like, we are definitely seeing that.
Yeah, chock full of folks.
It really does have a really good cast.
Yeah.
And they work well together, too.
Yeah.
Such a big cast. And they're all from, like, different things, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think definitely very different sides of comedy.
Yes.
So it's interesting to see how the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very easy to believe that it doesn't work. But maybe we can point out some reasons why it does.
Ooh.
Or also some reasons why it doesn't. All right, let's get started with talking about cooties. Ew, ew.
It definitely doesn't start where you would think it would start.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it starts with a chicken farm and a chicken getting choked.
Yeah.
Someone choking their chicken.
What? So we get animal cruelty right off the bat.
Damn right. and then also the processing of chicken meat and such.
Yes, chicken nuggets specifically.
Which, by the way, the footage, real chicken farm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not so, Tyson, though.
No. I think Purdue.
Oh.
I don't know.
I thought you knew for a second.
No,
look at you, Jay.
Hillshire Farms.
Well, okay, so we're seeing all of this footage because we're getting the setup for the entire concept of the film.
Yes.
Which is during the processing, there was one of the chicken heads was contaminated and got mixed up in all of it. And so contaminated chicken nuggets.
Yep, my meat's done been tainted.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, which, I mean, as far as concepts go for... you know, maybe a zombie or pathogens and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a bad concept because...
Yeah, it's pretty unique.
Yeah, and realistic. Because
yes.
God knows, I feel like every time I check the news, there's another, like, listeria outbreak or salmonella poisoning or something.
So. Yeah, listeria and salmonella on things you would never think you would get that from.
Yeah, I would never expect to get listeria from my rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
Never get listeria on another man's rhubarb.
Oh, Lord.
Once we get done with the nuggy trouble, and you see, like, the children eating the tainted nuggies.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
We are introduced to our main character, Clint, played by Elijah Wood.
Yes.
Hollywood sweetheart.
Yes. America's real sweetheart.
That's right. Take that, Julia Roberts.
That's right. he's kind of a loser, though.
Yeah.
He's... back home, living with mom, trying to become a writer.
Yeah, yeah. He's like trying to be a little Stephen King.
Yeah, but I don't know how good he is at it.
Well, yeah, considering the fact that, you know, he's basically writing a story about evil boat.
Yeah, a killer boat. Killer boat. And it's his first book that he's wanting to write, too.
Yeah.
We don't go with such a crazy concept for the first book that we're writing.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, if you look at H.P. Lovecraft's long list of ideas, vampire dog's like 15th.
Right? You know, like, he didn't start with that.
Yeah, he don't start with vampire dog. You know, yeah, like, could you imagine if Stephen King's first book was Christine? It was like the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're kind of slowly introduced to our main cast of characters throughout this next set of scenes.
Yeah.
Because we see Clint riding into school because he's doing like substitute teaching in the meantime. And he's having to do summer school substitute teaching, which...
Damn.
I've never had a substitute teacher when I did have to go to summer school.
Yeah, that's, or it's strictly the teacher's aide that is the summer, like,
yeah.
Because I don't know how summer, did you do summer school in Alabama?
Yeah.
I did a couple of times.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it was the grade that I was in when I went to summer school, it was the teacher's aide that did our class.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, she did it until she became a full-blown teacher.
Wow.
Sweet lady. Great, great summer school teacher. I won't say her name on the show, but if somehow you're listening and you were...
Oh, that would be so interesting.
And you were my fifth grade summer school teacher, you did a swell job and you were always pleasant.
Aw, how sweet.
I do like the way the movie gently every character gets a moment.
Yes.
And so
even like the kids that end up being part of the story. Yeah, even we get little introductions to how they kind of work in this world.
Yeah.
It's always strange to see the guy who plays Hurley, and I can never remember his actual name, and I feel bad about it because I only know him as Hurley.
For some reason, like, my brain, will never keep on to it. And I can easily just pick up my phone and look.
Yeah.
But I refuse.
Because every time I look up his name, I instantly forget it, and I feel so bad.
That's right. It's probably really easy to remember, too.
But I'm always... Because he always looks the same, too.
Yeah. When Clint, also to point out for plot's sake, when Clint arrives at the school, when he parks, a big-ass truck parks next to him, and he gets trapped inside his vehicle where he has to get out the back, like the hatchback of his car. It is later revealed who that is. I won't reveal it yet. But let's talk about some characters real quick, since this is how the movie introduces them. We were introduced Rainn Wilson's character, Wade.
Yeah.
We are introduced to Jack McBriar's character, who is, like, of course, very Jack McBriar, like, very, like, just innocent, but also kind of dirty.
Well,
they
keep making him say double entendres to make you go, oh, this character's gay.
Yeah.
Or is he?
Right. Yeah, so real easy trope to play off of.
Yeah, yeah. The lines that he says are super funny, very smart.
Also, we mentioned, quote, Hurley, but we didn't say anything about his character. He is the crossing guard for the school.
Looking to get drugs.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we're introduced, is he's trying to score some drugs off of Clint.
Yeah.
And so pretty amusing with that. We're introduced to the vice principal, introducing himself to Clint, and he's such a God, how do I even describe him?
I know, because he's not quite hippy-dippy, but he's like one of those like kind of guys that are into new agey kind of stuff.
Well, he's trying to be cool and real
relaxed. Yeah, he's trying to be cool. He's a lot like the teacher on Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
But he also is like, absolutely no technology in this school. I'm confiscating your phone for the day.
Yeah, gotta give me your phone, bro. Put it in the basket, bro.
It's just the rules, bro.
Yeah, gotta take it back to the, you know, gotta be more organic with how we learn.
Yeah.
Douche.
Yeah, so instantly, as a movie watcher, you know that this is set up for the future.
Yes, of course.
Like, I kind of like how this movie, like, kind of shoves it in your face.
Yeah.
The plot devices.
Yeah. Here's all the puzzle pieces.
And there is no confusion.
Yeah, we're going to give you a little cheat sheet picture of what the puzzle is going to look like even.
Yeah.
So there is no, like, you don't have to worry about solving the mystery, Miss Marple. We already know the mystery. Enjoy the ride.
Right. We see more characters because they're all mm-hmm. in the teacher's lounge.
Yep.
Every single one of them gossiping here, talking about people here.
Yeah.
Looking at Clint like they all hate him instantly.
Yeah, because he's trying to introduce himself to each one and they're all just kind of rolling their eyes. Rebecca is, she's just like very amped up and is talking about how she's got a rape button and,
yeah.
and she got her mace and all that.
Yeah, I can't, that girl, she's from Saturday Night Live.
Nasim Pajjad.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She. She's not in a whole lot of like post SNL. She didn't like.
Yeah.
This movie, I think, came out right after she had left SNL, and then she was on like a show about like newscasters. I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, she shows up here and there, and I think she's always pretty funny.
Yeah, she's really funny. Well, it's kind of like her and Jenny Slate didn't ever like they're in stuff, but it's not like. You know,
they didn't take off.
They're not like they didn't turn to Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like every summer has five movies or something like that. Comedy royalty. You know?
Right.
They're just dukes of comedy. They're not.
One of our other like main characters, I'd say, is Lucy, who it turns out is one of Clint's like old childhood friends mm-hmm. and oh my gosh, it's so crazy that we're here together in the school. This is wild that we're seeing each other after all these years. And so as they're catching up, Clint lets her know, hey, yeah, I was in New York, I was writing.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, I'm back at my old school. Can you believe it? Yeah. As he's chatting, they're interrupted by Wade, Rainn Wilson's character. And Clint is like, oh, yeah, actually, I already know you because you, it's not a big deal or anything, but you blocked me in. Aha, mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. That thing I referenced earlier, I brought it back.
Yeah.
A Podcastmagoria rarity where I actually bring up the thing I reference.
Yes.
And it's really funny because we get this gag mm-hmm. that goes on forever where he cannot say dual...
now you can't say it.
I can't say it. Dual wheel... Dual rear wheel.
God damn it.
It got my brain.
We heard it too many times.
Yeah, dual rear.
And I want the audience to try to say it after hearing him try to say it so many
That's
times.
That's right. Yeah.
But, okay, it's funny in this first scene, but oh my God, it goes on a little too long.
It definitely goes on way too long.
In this scene.
Yes.
Because he does it a couple other times throughout the film, and it's not too bad. But this time, I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I get it. It's funny.
Yeah, I assume that it was ad-libbed, and they were just like, run with it.
Yeah, keep doing it until you can say it.
Yeah, keep doing it until someone tells you to stop.
Yeah.
And finally, he stops. and yeah, it's pretty funny. When Clint, of course, tries to shoe in again his, by the way, I'm a writer. and he starts to explain his evil boat story. Wade's just like, oh, well, it's like Christine.
Yeah. It's like, well, as the audience, we already said that.
Yeah.
And then the movie actually makes the joke, too.
Yeah, and he's like, well, no, it's not like Christine since it's a boat. And he goes, oh, so it's like Speed 2.
Yeah.
What a silly reference. Finally, all the teachers start doing their classroom stuff. We get some quick clips seeing how each one of the teachers interact with the children. And
yeah, they all have wildly different teaching styles. Yes. A couple of them come on a little too strong.
Yeah.
But as this is going on, we're kind of seeing the kids a little bit more, mm-hmm. and we see that one of them is looking particularly sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And these two awful little boys are picking on her,
mm-hmm.
You know, because she looks awful.
Yeah.
She does.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't mean you guys need to bully her.
Yeah. Also, before they actually show the teachers doing their thing, when Lucy is walking Clint to his class, he brings up how he thinks that Wade is an asshole. And that's when she says, oh, well, he's my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, like, that's right.
Foot in the mouth moment, yes. With them. Because he wasn't awkward enough. We had to throw in this one more thing to really just send him down.
Yep. Aw, poor Clint.
Yeah. Clint's awkwardness doesn't even end with this, of course.
No. Because his freaking classroom is the one with the two awful little kids in it.
He's got the little bastards. Yep. And he's just like, oh, you know, you don't need to call me Mr. So-and-so. You can call him by my first name, Clint. And so he starts to write his first name on the chalkboard, and the kid's like, oh, your name's Cunt.
Yeah, like, no. Because he drew the freaking L way too close to the eye.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then being even a larger loser, sorry, Clint, but instead of doing, like, I don't know, proper teaching, he decides he's going to have the kids read lines from his manuscript for his book.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, this is summer school, so there's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
Second of all, you're a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
There had to have been some sort of plan. Yeah. Something.
Or at the very least, don't have the kids read your weird thing. Yeah, your weird book about an ex-girlfriend being a haunted boat.
It's weird.
Creep. The kid, by the way, that's the biggest dickhead in the entire film. His name is Patriot because he was born on 9/11. He has a cell phone in the class, and Clint's like, oh, you know the rules. We can't have cell phones. And he's just like, basically, go fuck yourself. And mm-hmm. while you were talking, I looked up pictures of boobs and stuff. It was just I looked at 16 boobs while you were talking.
Yeah,
or some
just
shit.
awful thing after awful thing. Really driving the point home of how just, awful this kid is. And even Clint's just like, God damn.
Yeah. Yeah, as the kids start reading his awful book, Patriot is picking on that sickly girl. And he starts to try to tug at her pigtails, and one of them pops off.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Just clean off, too.
It's, I don't know why, because I got a pretty strong tummy.
Yeah, but that...
There's something about that that was like, ugh. That's icky.
I think because it's so uncanny, because it's her pigtail, and that's not necessarily how it would look.
But it's got a little bit of a cabin fever.
It's a little cabin fever. Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know, like the thought of it, you know, makes my skin crawl a little bit. The sick girl ends up attacking Patriot and giving, and also scratches Clint. Blonde of eyes.
But yeah, she like skedaddles off instantly. Mm-hmm. And of course, Clint has to go take Patriot to the nurse.
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, what? I thought you were a big tough boy.
Yeah,
What's going on?
Like the kid's having a hard time.
But I don't know. With how awful that kid was being, I gotta think about that. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you don't feel so bad when a little bastard gets it.
If it was an adult, I'd be the same way, guys.
Yeah. So let's do something that's gonna be happening a lot in this movie, and it's time for Check In with Hurley.
I don't even know that character's name. I didn't write it down.
In my notes, I just wrote, quote, Hurley.
I put, quote, Hurley, too.
That's such a...
We're so bad.
This is year five, folks.
This is year five.
Oh, man. What's he up to? Well, since he's done his duty of being the lollipop man, he now is taking a nice break in his lollipop van. And what do you do to pass the time during the school day? Well, I believe it's time to do some shrooms.
Ooh. Yeah. So you can imagine how this is going to play out, folks.
Uh-oh.
Back to the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
Clint and Lucy are talking again. Mm-hmm. And Clint's just like admitting to her how happy he was that little shit.
That little bastard.
Got attacked.
Yeah. While this is going on, a diet dabbling of Podcastmagoria magic.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of back and forth cuts between what's going on the playground for recess versus what's going on with the teachers.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily matter a lot of it.
No, because ultimately we get what I absolutely adore about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about a lot of these kinds of films, if they do it right, and that is the world essentially ending and nobody notices.
Yeah.
Everyone's so self-absorbed. Everyone's so like wrapped up with other nonsense that they're not paying attention to absolute carnage happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so how this manifests is Patriot's little dickhead buddy goes over to pick on the sick girl again. Jeez Louise, taking off her pigtail wasn't enough?
Yeah, and her attacking him. Yeah. But of course, he's coming to get revenge.
Yes.
Why.
And also, speaking of her pigtails, a little bit of editing error here. Some cooties magic. Both her pigtails are back. So... I don't know. Maybe she just spit on it and stuck it back on.
Maybe. put some super glue on it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe she had presence of mind to do that.
But ultimately, she does end up attacking this kid. Yeah. And it is literally like a snap.
Yeah.
Because he instantly goes and runs off, starting to scratch and bite people.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty quick how it affects him.
Yeah. And then, like, just each one of the kids, it's just like, boop, 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 boop.
Literally, yeah. Like, just scratching.
Yeah.
And the kids, like, don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's all a slow motion, like, scene.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, almost like the opening of Zombieland.
Like, every time they kind of show the zombie kids doing their thing, it's always kind of these excellent, like, slow motion shots.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. Like, when you get to the core horror side of the movie, they always set up the shots beautifully. And and there are several moments throughout this film, even though it's a horror comedy, heavy on the comedy, when you do have those moments of horror, it's hard not to get a little wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's some tense moments and shit where you're like, oh, fuck, they better get the moving.
Mm-hmm.
Seen the movie before. I know it's going to happen, but I'm still going, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah.
Of course, none of the teachers in the teacher's lounge notice what's going on yet. Unfortunately, there's one person that does see what's happening, and that is our poor lad Hurley.
I love the way that he introduces it, though, because he gets on the walkie-talkie with the vice principal, and he's like, hey, so I don't know if I'm seeing this correctly or not.
I had to take my medication for my condition.
Yeah. So I might not be seeing things clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the recess supervisors is being torn to shreds.
Yeah. The adults are starting to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, this happens really quick.
And
also,
he's just watching, like, with his eyes, like, bugging.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Vice principal, he pops out.
And instantly ripped apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, instant.
Yeah, yeah. At first, it looks like they're going to do an homage to Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like, choke on it, you know, scene.
Yeah.
But instead, they're pulling off his arms and legs.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. Teacher lounge finally sees what's going on. And the weirdo teacher that we haven't really talked about much yet.
Doug.
Yes. He points out the window and goes, look, carnage.
Yeah. All right.
It's like my favorite line in the film.
Yeah, let's talk about Doug a little bit.
Doug is a weirdo.
Yes, Doug is a biology teacher that he is just a different kind of dude.
Yes. I'm surprised he has a teaching job because he's just that different.
Yeah,
because
how we were initially introduced to him, he's sitting in the corner reading a How to Have Conversations with People book.
Yeah.
And of course, Biff said. And then, like, every time that he speaks, weeks from that point till, you know, till the end of the fucking movie, really. Not to take away any suspense on whether or not he might see the end of the film. But unfortunately, to kill suspense, Doug is throughout the entire movie being weird.
Yeah.
Just real weird.
But I enjoy him.
I love him.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters.
There's no characters that I really would cut from the film.
True,
because I think that even the ones that do die, like the vice principal, for instance, he's on screen just as long as he needs to be.
Exactly.
Like, he didn't overstay his welcome. I think he was perfect for the thing.
Yeah, I am glad that he was one of the first adults to go down.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been really kind of weak to the story if he had stuck around and been... Because I imagine he would have been like,
the entire time maybe trying to disprove it.
Or trying to be too much of a leader.
Yeah. And we already have enough of that with Wade.
Yeah.
And
kind of Clint.
Yeah.
They kind of have that dynamic, but he's mostly just like, yeah, you're bigger and stronger.
Yeah. Fine, fuckhead. Take it.
Yeah.
Good. Have fun. Yeah.
So, yes, they end up trying to warn Wade because he's still outside.
Yeah.
With all of this carnage going on around him.
Yeah, it takes a while for him to finally take notice.
And when he finally kind of notices, he's trying to reason with them at first.
Yeah.
Like, I know you hate your teachers sometimes, kids, but not like this.
Yeah. And then he books it. And you can tell that Wade might enjoy having to knock these little bastards over.
Yeah.
It's a teacher's dream. Finally getting to slap these little bastards around.
Yeah. Everybody's kind of in emergency mode. Mm-hmm. Tracy, Jack's character, is trying to call the police or somebody to help. And we see Patriot, who is a full-blown zombie now, freaking destroying the phones.
Yeah, he disconnects the phone line, and then he's going in stomping. Like, oh, okay, so there's two characters that get this treatment. You got Hurley and Patriot. Mm-hmm. Throughout the entire film, it's always a, what are they up to?
Yeah, what's going on with them?
I think it's a good way to, end scenes, like they're vignettes almost, between segments.
It's also weird though, because compared to the other zombies, it's weird how smart Patriot is.
Yeah, isn't that the damn, he's a little bastard all the way, even after being a zombie.
Yeah.
He's a little just like, Patriot. He reminds me of.
Not those damn twins.
Those damn twins in the witch. God,
is it going to be every year now that we have children we hate?
Well, this isn't the show for kids, so.
You true.
By very design, true. Those little ones.
So we do see Wade reunite with everybody. Mm-hmm. Hooray. He's alive. He made it in. Cool.
Yeah.
The police do end up showing up.
Yeah.
And we get another little nice celebrity.
Yeah.
Guest star role of Badger from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
We have Hurley and Badger.
Oh,
what
man.
Do you know?
Yeah, this is a good time. Who let him be a cop?
For real. Like, who did that casting?
Yeah. So, he say howdy to the kids, and then they're all being weird, you know, zombie kids. And he's like, ugh. And then Patient Zero, zombie girl, gets out of there and attacks them. And
he drives off.
Yeah. Whoops.
Oh, no.
Looks like this isn't contained. Yeah. So everybody's really disappointed with that.
Well, the audience is, they don't know in the school yet what's going on.
No, that is true. Patriot, being the little turd that he is, shows up at the teacher's lounge and starts attacking everyone. Clint being the first person he goes for. Mm-hmm. And then random teacher that I don't think we've seen the entire time.
Yeah, random, just a rando.
Yeah, she ends up getting attacked by Patriot. She falls back into like a supply...
Cabinet.
Yeah, supply cabinet, which then it's just her and Patriot stuck in there. She's just getting destroyed.
Yeah, who knows what's actually happening.
And everybody's just
everybody
like, well,
runs off.
Yeah.
Promptly runs off, and I would too. The teachers end up finding another kid, and... Of course, they're like, but it turns out it's the little smart boy.
Yeah, Calvin.
That we didn't even mention, but he's a main character. What do you know?
Yeah. For whatever reason, he's not been infected.
I think because he was spending time alone in the library.
Yeah. Well, that's what we can assume is that he didn't get infected because he's
He's too smart.
Yeah, he's too smart for that shit.
See, books save lives, people.
That's right.
So things are fixing to get really tricky because Patriot has decided to let all the Zom kids inside. This is when in my notes I started writing Zom kids.
Oh, good job.
Because there needed to be a difference, right?
I just said kids.
Just the kids.
I knew what they were. Calvin ends up telling all the adults that what the kids are infected with is cooties.
Yeah, it's gotta be cooties.
Roll the credits. We did it. He said the title.
That's it.
All right, pack it up, folks. Time to go home.
Wade, his whole plan, we need to fight these kids.
We need
to kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why don't we just use the stuff that's in this room? We got all these instruments and stuff in here. Like, we can get them.
Yeah.
And then Clint's like, no, we should really try to go get the cell phones and get help.
Yeah. And they're just like, well, how are we supposed to do that, dipshit, since we're trapped in here with all those fuckers out there?
Yeah. You
know, it's a lot of back and forth between Clint and Wade, just a lot of dick waving.
And Lucy's finally like, stop. Here's another plan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I like... Not very many films do that, where the two characters are fighting and somebody comes up with a different plan.
Yeah.
They usually try to compromise. She's like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're going to go to the roof, dipshits. In the mix of Wade berating Clint, by the way, he does call him a hobbit.
Yeah. There is that big quiet. It gets quiet in the film for a second, waiting for the audience to laugh.
Yeah. They must have expected everyone to be guffawing for 30 seconds.
God.
He said it. He said it.
He said he's a hobbit.
They end up discovering that Clint has a scratch. And they're just like, well, now hold on. You're infected, buddy. And he's like, no. And he's clearly sick.
Because he's starting to get upset tummy and getting coffee and stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I'm going to quarantine you for a little bit, see what happens. And so they lock him away, and Doug goes in there with him.
Yeah.
Because by this point, Clint is throwing up this black bile.
Yeah. And Doug's a biologist. He's like, well, you know, I need to study him because I we have to know what this virus does.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of been hinted this whole time that he's looking like at this going, oh, my God, this is so fascinating.
Yeah, this is
great.
Yeah, he's like, maybe his cousin's with, maybe his last name's West.
Yeah, right. Doug West. He goes and looks at it. He's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, that is exactly how he is with it.
Yeah, that's
He's
how
like,
he is.
Oh, I checked his vomit and his stool, and everything seemed fine. And he shows his hands, which are covered in goo. And they're just like, oh my God. He goes, no, it's all right. I'm wearing gloves. And they're like, no, you're not.
Oh, whoop. So they're kind of like, I wonder what's up with that. What's going on? They end up letting him out.
Yeah.
Since he hasn't turned or anything. And he seems to be getting better.
Mm-hmm. Let's check up with Hurley real quick.
He's still tripping.
Yeah, he's tripping balls. He is listening to the news on the radio and...
freaking out.
Yeah, things might not be going so great in the rest of the world.
We get another long... a montage of scenes of the kids on the playground.
Yeah.
And yet again, it's that slow-mo filming style. And it's just all these beautiful shots.
Yeah. No, it's like that's what's so weird about a relatively small budget horror comedy is that they knock it out of the park with the filming.
And I will say, I know that we complain about that a lot, but for some reason in this movie it really works. It's really effective.
Yeah,
because you're essentially seeing what exactly these kids got up to while they were outside on the playground for what, 20 minutes?
Well, no. See, here's the thing. For this scene, this is, and why I don't have a problem with these sections of the film, is it's showing a passage of time. This is showing because like they're on, they get to the roof, like they're waiting until 3 o'clock for the parents to show up.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So this is several hours of them hanging about, and that's what connects us to the next part, which is one of the parents arrives early and completely distracted. She's on her phone.
Yeah, there's another little snot in the back crying. But yeah, so she's completely distracted. They're trying like hell to get her attention, yeah, and it's not working.
Yep.
Because we're in the car with the lady and we can't hear them. So yeah, how is she going to hear them?
Right.
And the zombie kid goes straight to the car,
mm-hmm,
gets right in, and she's like, hurry up, we got to get going. And he attacks the little brother in the back first.
Yep.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. That is so good.
Yeah, they don't really, like, I mean, you know, kids don't, you know, a lot of movies would pull their punches,
mm-hmm,
with the exception of like the remake of Dawn of the Dead, mm-hmm, with the zombie baby.
Yeah. I mean, the virus probably knows that it only affects certain people.
Uh-huh.
Wink, wink. Sorry if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Why it went that way instead of the adult getting attacked first.
Yeah, maybe. Unfortunately for our teachers on the roof, their saving grace of having a parent show up and help them doesn't work out. And they're just like, oh my God, the other parents are going to come. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, they're making so much noise on the roof that the zombie kids start to notice.
Yes.
Start to climb up.
Yep. And in this moment, another uninfected child joins them on the roof. And they're just like, oh, holy shit. Like another uninfected kid.
Yeah.
Run.
Which, I mean, she was like hanging out on that playground for so long. Like, how did she...
Yeah.
How did she survive?
So that's okay. So that's an interesting question to ask. Now, we do learn a little bit of what's up with her here shortly, but I want to ask this. I'm going to piggyback off of one question with another question. And that is, she doesn't get infected. She's been amongst all the other little gremlins this entire time. Mm-hmm. So the other gremlins...
didn't rip her apart?
Yeah, they killed the adults. Why wouldn't they have killed her?
Yeah.
That, I think, has just revealed, Autumn, a plot hole. Because if she didn't get infected and the little gremlins don't, you know, little bastards don't, the little turds, they don't, you know, attack her. I want to just call them a lot of different nasty things. But the zombie kids don't actually kill her, even though she's been amongst them the entire time. And then the other kid, now we assume that he didn't get infected because he was chilling
alone
in the library.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you then, in turn, utilize these kids?
Right.
To go do the things that you need to get done.
Mm.
Like, that never crosses their minds. And I get it. You don't, you know...
You don't want to send the kids out into danger.
But if you know that they're going to be perfectly safe,
yeah,
that they're in no more danger than anybody else, why not use them?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm horrible for...
You're just like, send the kids out
I'm practical.
Yeah.
You know, but okay, so yeah, they run from all the Zom kids.
One does end up going into, what is it, like their gymnasium, their little theater in
the
school.
Yes, yeah.
One of them ends up following them in there, and Wade doesn't hold back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He finally gets his wish and freaking kills one of them.
Yeah, he just bludgeons that kid.
Just keeps going, too, and everybody's like, okay, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lucy, in fact, has to take the surviving kids off to the side because they're, like, shaken up after seeing an adult kill a kid like that, even if it was a zombie kid.
Yep.
The main question on everybody's mind, though, after seeing this is, why is her blood black?
Yes, which Doug's like, I'll take the case.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I need to examine the brain.
He should have been like rubbing his hands together, like, yummy, biology.
Yeah, he is just really interested in all this stuff in a different way than I think anybody would usually be interested. It's almost like he's been waiting his whole life for the opportunity to dissect infected people.
Right. This is also the moment, though, I can't really necessarily remember how how it transpired, but we learned that the girl that they just found has been scratched.
Yeah.
So, what's going on with that? She's not infected yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is turning kids pretty quickly.
Yeah.
We got another biology case on our hands.
Yeah. A lot of story happens in this little chunk of time.
Yeah, because we see Hurley still tripping and listening to the radio.
Yeah, he sees a giraffe.
yes, his buddy the giraffe. Lucy ends up checking on Wade because he got so shaken up after that he runs off. Mm-hmm. But he's mostly upset with her because he's like, you're flirting with Clint.
Yeah, yeah. He reveals that he was going to propose to her. He's already bought a ring, but I guess it's worthless because she's so into Clint. And he's just like, you always smile and laugh with him. You've never smiled like that with me.
I know, that kind of hurt my heart a little bit. Because Clint, sure, that's Elijah Wood. He's a cutie. But my God, he's kind of a loser compared to Wade, who knows how long him and Lucy have been together. She's just going to throw it all away for that?
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is a weird position to be in where, because typically this kind of Wade's character in every other movie.
He's such an asshole.
And in this film, it's like, he's an asshole, but.
But they probably have been together for a long time now and have had a very happy relationship up until now.
Maybe he's a douche, but he's not like...
He's not terrible
to her. He's not terrible. Yeah, exactly. As far as
him saying that whole, you never laugh at my... or never smile at my stuff. Like, that hurt.
Yeah. Maybe he's the way he is because he's just been rejected his whole... Yeah. Like, that's his... Mm. He's being tough because he doesn't want people to see him sad. But he's a tragic character.
He is.
Doug has no problem popping the brain out of the infected kid. He's real cool about it. He shows it off to everybody and starts explaining the virus. He ends up theorizing that perhaps because of the part of the brain that it's very clear that it's infecting is the part of the brain that is influenced by puberty.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe the reason why the kids that they have with them didn't get infected is because they've actually started going through puberty.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why Clint didn't get turned. It just makes you sick.
It just makes you ill. Yeah. Which, of course, Doug awkwardly asks the little girl if she's had her menses.
Yeah.
And then says, she's clearly not a good student because she didn't. That's why she got a low grade in biology. It's because she doesn't know what menses is. Doug, never change.
Well, we might as well check in on Patriot because we haven't checked in on him in a long time and he's still fucking shit up.
Yep, he ends up turning out the power, the little bastard.
How do you remember how to do that?
How did he know where to go for that?
Come on. He's a bad bully kid. Of course he knows where this stuff is.
Yeah, everyone knows that bully kids have schematics to the power grid for schools.
Yeah. Where they can turn off a power and go, we gotta go home.
Yep. Oh, gee. Yep. No quiz today.
Yeah. I imagine that's...
I'll accept that, I suppose. checking back in with Calvin, the other kid that didn't get infected, he unfortunately has a different ailment, and that is diabetes.
Oh, no. So that's affecting everything now because he's... passed out.
Yep, he's having a hard time, and if he doesn't get some sugar in him soon, he's going to die. So now they have to figure out what they're going to do. They still have the plan of, geez, we need to get to the phones, and then now we also need to get some sugar in this kid.
Yeah, we gotta get a candy bar. Luckily, there's a vending machine in the teacher's lounge, which we'll also have to pass by the principal's office.
Yeah.
And gosh,
two birds, one stone.
Yeah, but who's small enough to go up in this vent?
Oh, well, I know who's small enough to go in that vent. That girl that got scratched.
James, we can't send the kids. We can't send the kids.
Well, I guess there's a certain hobbit that could be sneaking around.
Yes, so Clint ends up having to go up in the vents.
Yes.
Lucy kind of shortly follows.
Yeah.
because they kind of have a little tiff again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, in the mix of all this, we're introduced to another character, the janitor, who they went down to his little janitor area where apparently he lives.
Yeah, and the basement.
Yeah, in the basement. So that's where the vent was, by the way, folks. Lucy catches up with Clint in the vents, and they decide that the plan is that Clint will get the candy bar, she'll go and get the phone. Mm-hmm. We get a very tense moment while they're in the vent where a little girl riding a tricycle stops and stares at the vent where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that, like I had mentioned before, it's a tense scene.
Yeah, there's a couple of tense scenes throughout, and I didn't really want to mention too many of them.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're glossing over some, especially we haven't been talking about a lot of like the actual like gore effects.
Or the comedy, yeah. Because I'll say it now, I want people to watch this.
Yes. So let's continue on.
Yeah.
Clint and Lucy finally get out of the vent into the area that they need to be in. He starts fiddling with the vending machine. Lucy goes to get the phones.
Which I'm like, why is the vending machine on if the power's off?
That is a great question. They might have a generator that kicks on for the cafeteria, so maybe the food doesn't go bad. This is, I guarantee, the writers did not think about this.
Yeah.
Shit. I doubt that anybody that's watched this film has thought about this.
That's what I think about every single time I see this.
And that's why we're here. Because we think of the things that you don't have to, audience. Lucy discovers that little bastard Patriot. I'm gonna tell you right when this episode gets uploaded onto other things, I've got my work cut out for me because I'm gonna have to bleep and bloop when I'm calling these little bastards. Clint finally gets the candy bar out of the vending machine. There's some tense moments with this as well.
Yeah,
they end up getting
that little bastard Patriot.
That little bastard Patriot.
You didn't really finish your thought.
Who cares about Patriot? It's not like he's the linchpin of this entire film. And also, me finish a thought? Never.
Yeah, I do want to mention something funny about this scene, though.
Okay.
When they get to the vending machine, because he looks over at Lucy and goes, "Do you have a dollar?"
Oh, yeah.
So he was going to go on that big, long journey through the ducks, and he didn't even have the money for the vending machine.
What a ding-dong.
What a loser.
Yeah. Oh, complete loser. Way to drive it home, folks. After all this stuff goes on, they go into the vents, but the kids catch on to the fact that they're in the vents. And so they shout down towards everyone else that's in the basement, "Hey, there's kids in here." They throw the candy bar for Calvin, and then they zoop off a different direction so the rest of the gang can block off the vent so they don't get torn to shreds.
Yep, since everybody's kind of separated now, Clint and Lucy kind of have their little moment where they are kind of admitting things to each other.
Yep.
It all comes to light. Clint is a big old liar loser.
Yep. Yeah, he's been in New York teaching this entire time.
What a loser.
Oh, well, you know they say, those that can't teach.
Even though he's going, "Lucy, I'm a loser," they kiss.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now Lucy's a loser, if you ask me.
LL. Loser Lucy.
And then we get to see the teachers kind of reminisce on a lot of stuff too. Gonna kind of gloss over this.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it has nothing really to do with the big main zombie story that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. They tidy up a little bit of character stuff for one last little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they start preparing for the offense because they're gonna get the fuck out of there. They're gonna go to Wade truck with the rear dual wheel
drive. I said it.
And they're gonna get the fuck out of there. So everyone ends up arming themselves with a lot of like neat homebrew weapons. Of course, Rainn Wilson's character Wade has his ball gun.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is incredibly effective.
Okay, in video games, I'm just saying the ball guns are always the most effective guns.
Yeah.
So I think in real life, that's what I would go with too.
Yeah.
I do also like that they decide to give the Zom kids Adderall.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. So that's how Clint and Lucy get out of their situation, because they were held up in a room for a while. They drug the kids.
Yeah,
and it works. That never works in zombie films.
They are kind of talking to each other through this whole process, through the walkie-talkies. So our other character, Hurley.
Oh, yeah.
He gets to hear the plan, but also Patriot gets to hear the plan.
And gets it and understands it.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
What's happening with this?
Yeah.
Why is he so special?
I don't know. I don't know why he's a special zombie kid.
Yeah. Well, do you think that maybe he was on medication? Do you think that maybe, like, he was already, like, because, like, you know, let's face it, that kid was probably on, like, Adderall or something to make him not be such, so crazy.
No, that kid is probably medically neglected, like he's neglected in everything else, and that's why he's so awful.
All the other kids were on Adderall already.
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
I see. So this whole movie is actually against Big Pharma drugging children.
There we go, yes. Yes, you found the secret.
Holy crap, I cracked the Da Vinci Code.
The gang is making it through the hallways. They do meet up with Lucy and Clint. Mm-hmm. They're making pretty good headway with these kids. Like,
oh,
as they
God.
Come up, they're just taking care of them left and right.
Yeah.
Hitachi, our janitor.
Yes.
He says, "Don't worry, guys. I'll stand back. I got this."
Yeah.
And he looks like he's got it.
Yeah, he kicks all the ass.
He really does. When they make it outside, Wade decides he's going to be the hero now.
Yeah.
"Take my keys. I've got this."
Yes.
Because there's still zomb kids coming out after them. And they're like, there's this another big fantastic scene of them slow-mo, like, fighting with the zombies and whatnot, trying to make it to the big truck. Unfortunately, looks like the horde gets weighed.
Damn.
Just as they make it to the truck.
Mm-hmm.
They instantly drive off, though. They're in the mindset that we gotta get going.
Yep.
Poor Wade. R.I.P.
Yeah.
And as they drive off, you know, we're like, oh, hooray, they did it.
Yeah.
This is obviously in the movie. Uh-uh, folks. We forgot about that little bastard Patriot that knew the plan.
Yeah.
And so he snuck his little ass into the back of that truck and attacks.
Yep. Clint finally gets his revenge on Patriot.
Oh, yes.
Runs that little turd over.
Yes. It is so gruesome, too.
Yes.
I know we haven't talked about the gore very much, like you mentioned that, but there is, like, just some nasty gore in this.
Yeah.
And the Patriot death scene is just so rewarding in a way, because it's so gross.
They arrive to the town. The truck runs out of gas and they're starting to try, you know, figure out what they're going to do in regards to this. They see playing on TV in one of the shop windows, the news, and man, oh man, this shit hit the fan everywhere.
It happens super fast, and the news is mentioning that they do think that there was a link to chicken nuggets.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, they figured that out that fast?
For real.
Because I think in real world, it would take them like 2 or 3 days. At least,
yeah, like not in the same day for sure.
No. Within a few hours of this happening.
Yeah,
even?
Probably roughly, I'll say maybe 7 hours.
Yeah,
tops.
It's probably been, we had this whole school day, so.
Yeah.
And that's 8 hours, and it was like dark when it's been like almost 10 hours.
Oh, I'm not going on that tangent.
Don't Joe Bobas. Don't Joe Bobas.
Okay, so Doug's just like, I need to get one of those nuggies because I think I can make a vaccine for this. Man, Doug is just like some sort of genius.
He really is.
He's like freaking, some super genius that's teaching at this school for whatever reason.
So they find this random building and they all pile inside. And lo and behold, there's a thing of the chicken nuggets right there.
Son of a bitch.
Holy crap. But what is this place that they're in?
Oh.
Like, they start to, like, walk around and kind of look around, and then they realize, oh, shit, we're in a play place.
Yeah, whoops.
They're in one of those indoor playgrounds, and there's just all these zomb kids banging on the little cages and the slides. And
Yeah, looks like it's over.
It looks like it reminds me so much of Mad Max. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's definitely got some Thunderdome thing going on.
Very
here.
Thunderdome. Yeah. And you're like, this has got to be the end of the film. This is the end right here.
Yeah, it's like the end of Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, I was expecting it to cut. No, no. Wade shows up. He's alive.
Yep.
He saves the day.
Not only is he alive, but Hurley's alive too.
And Hitachi.
Yay.
They teamed up and kicked ass.
Man, that's
all the way there.
That's the spinoff I want to watch.
I would watch. I would watch that little hour or so that they're fighting against zombies,
yes.
Making their way to. How they knew that they were in this building, I'll never know, but...
That is a very good question.
You know?
Yeah, Wade sprays the place down with gasoline, sets it on fire, does that cool walking away thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the end.
What? That's the end?
Cooties.
That's the end? I thought we at least had another 30 minutes left.
It was one of those things where I was just like, Jesus, how long is this movie?
Yeah.
Because this is
I remember the first time watching it going, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to end? This time watching it, though, I was like, I kind of appreciated the false endings.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't seem as long this time.
No. Yeah, because I think first viewing, it did feel like a long movie.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, especially the first half, like, goes by so much faster on the second viewing.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
So.
Yeah, because that felt like it was longer when we first watched
it.
Yeah,
like
it's
getting
weird.
Introduced to the teachers and them talking in the lounge. Like, I remember the first time watching it going, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
like,
hurry up, get to the action.
Yeah, I want to see the zombies.
But it's very fast.
It really is.
It's a very quick, well-paced movie for the most part.
So this movie is definitely a multi-watch.
Yes, yeah, okay.
You get a different experience.
So, verdict.
Oh, you love
obviously.
It.
Obviously. Yeah. Like, it's a solid zombie comedy.
I think it's underrated.
Yes.
It didn't get very much media attention at all when it came out.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, when this movie came out, it was pretty, like, low key.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, Little Monsters came out.
Yeah.
And
I love that movie too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the only reason why that movie got way more attention is because it was a Hulu exclusive.
True.
And
so it was readily available.
Yeah. And they were advertising the fuck out of that.
Yes, they were.
So
that's why we ended up watching it.
Yeah, so that one was a little hard to dodge. So anyway, definitely, if you can get your hands on it, check it out.
It occasionally does stream on stuff. I'm not necessarily sure what it's streaming on right now.
I don't think it's actively streaming on no. Actually, I know what it's streaming on.
Oh.
Something we haven't mentioned yet on our A to Z. It's over on a little app called Tubi.
Oh, we haven't mentioned Tubi in a minute.
Oh, poor Tubi.
This year, love you, Tubi.
Yeah, we love you, Tubi. Give us a show, Tubi. but we don't, just to talk about the list a little bit, we don't have too many Tubi movies on the list this year. So
we actually have a lot of movies this year that we bought.
Yeah, we had to actually get our...
We know somebody that has a copy of.
Yeah, because a lot of them weren't readily available streaming. So that's why this year I'm not going to be mentioning where to watch it too much, because a lot of it's not available and I don't want to break your little hearts. So definitely, folks, check it out however you can.
Mm-hmm. Buy it. Hell.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So we can get a Cooties too.
I would love a Cooties too.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our D episode. D for Drag Me to Hell.
Classic.
Another movie that's been on the list for 5 years and finally getting around to reviewing it. So
Woo. How
do we like that movie? Well, you might already know, but find out next time. Until next time, dear listeners, if you find yourself substituting at a school for little kids that are perfect little angels, and some of them might not be so sweet, do yourself a favor before things get out of hand. go ahead and stomp that shit. Take them. Bust out that ruler. Hey, throw it back old school. Smack them kids around so they don't get infected with the cooties virus. They get infected with a little bit of justice. And most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye.
We don't abuse kids, I promise.
You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh